It's now 12 noon. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. In the case of today, music and dance, ballet. USA Ballet is going to be at the Watseka Theater in Watseka, Illinois this weekend for an interesting collaboration with the community of Watseka, really. And I have two guests with us today. Ken Bello is the choreographer, resident choreographer for the ballet, and Chuck Gomez is manager of the Watseka Theater, and he's brought along some recordings also of some of the other offerings that Watseka has at the theater. And so we'll have a mix of conversation and different kinds of music for you today on Live and Local. It's FM 90.9. Quirky ending to a quirky piece. It's music by Jean-Philippe Rameau from something he called a buffo ballet, or actually ballet buffon, comic ballet about a rather frog-like nymph named Platé, who does not get treated well by the god Jupiter or his wife. Rather cruel tricks are played, but we won't go into the whole story, but it makes for some unusual and comic music. I don't know if there's comedy on the show this weekend by the USA Ballet, but they certainly are performing at the Watseka Theater in Watseka, Illinois this Saturday. And there's a number of associated events with it that we'll hear about on the program today. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. My guests are Chuck Gomez, who's the manager of the Watseka Theater, and Ken Bello, who is resident choreographer and more with USA Ballet. Thank you, gentlemen, both for coming to the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Got a little frog in the throat to start off the show. Chuck, I'll let you start. You were on the show, probably a few months ago, mm-hmm. talking about, I think, a blues fest.
Yes,
that was
up back in May.
At the theater. And some of our listeners no doubt heard that, but many, I'm sure, didn't. Tell us a little bit about the Watseka Theater in general.
Well, the Watseka Theater, located in Watseka, Illinois, first let me say and extend my gratitude and thank you for having us on Live and Local here
our pleasure.
WILL FM here at the beautiful campus in Champaign-Urbana. But the Watseka Theater is truly a diamond in our own backyard in Iroquois County. We're just under 50 miles northeast of Champaign-Urbana in Watseka, Illinois, a small town of about 5,000 people. And it turned out the theater was one of the very first American projects by the world-renowned architect Louis Skidmore. And this was information that was pretty much unknown to anybody until I discovered the original blueprints to the theater and was surveying the blueprints with a structural engineer I had hired when we had started the restoration in 2007, right when I purchased the theater. And the structural engineer looked down at the signature on the bottom of the blueprints and said, "Oh my God, Chuck, this theater was designed and conceived by Louis Skidmore." And I said, "Oh, Louis Skidmore, yeah. And who's Louis Skidmore?" And it's not a common everyday name like Frank Lloyd Wright, but absolutely an equal and a contemporary of Frank Lloyd Wright. And Louis Skidmore happened to have landed near Watseka from his birth near Lowell, Indiana. And then after going to college at MIT, moved to Europe for a few years with friends and associates, and formed his firm, and came back to his hometown area. And one of his very first jobs was designing the Watsika Theater. Now, this was in the mid-20s, and the project started in earnest in 1928, and ground was broken in 1929. But as you know, that was right in the center of the Art Deco movement, and coming back from Europe, where Art Deco was so strong, he instilled many of those design forms and ideas and principles into the Watsika Theater, which now is one of only four remaining small house Art Deco theaters left in America. And it's truly one of our town's gems, and I am proud to be part of that theater. And we have honored Mr. Skidmore, who passed away in 1962, but not until he had been the chief architect and designer, using the Watsika Theater as a prototype for the 1933 Century of Progress Chicago World's Fair, went on to design the United Nations building in New York City. His drawings were on the board for the Sears Tower, and his firm went on to do the John Hancock Center, and is the largest and oldest architectural firm in America. And we have honored Lewis Skidmore by naming our banquet room the Lewis Skidmore Room. So we honor the original architect of the theater, and we consider it one of the true treasures of Iroquois County.
Well, it sounds like it. And one of these days I'm actually going to have to get there, yeah, which I have not yet done. And I know that some of our listeners have, because you just recently hosted the Sugar Creek Music Festival, Sugar Creek Festival,
mm-hmm, in
with
Watsika,
a couple of operas, not at the theater, but in Watsika, but it has been at the theater,
yes,
in years past, mm-hmm, and so I know some folks have been there, heard, seen the place, heard what things sound like there, and now you have the USA Ballet. Is this the first you've had a ballet at the theater or not?
We have had dance programs, but I, too, am a music major, a band director, and jazz performer, sax player, and have always had a warm place in my heart for the fine arts, and believe that a well-rounded education covers not just the principles of education, but also the fine arts, and have worked diligently with my partner, Deborah Liddell, to produce each and every aspect of the fine arts. And even though we have had dance programs in the past, and jazz programs, and classical music, and expos, and travel logs, and all types of events, we now proudly and happily look forward to the USA Ballet joining us this Saturday, August 22nd, for our local performance of Vignettes at the Watsika Theater. Thank you, USA Ballet.
Yeah. Well, Ken Bello, who is with the ballet, is here with us also. And since Chuck mentioned his own activities in education, let's start that way with the USA Ballet, because that is a major focus of your company, as I understand.
One of the things we definitely do is arts and education, and it has been a major focus for the company, both nationally and locally. You know, we regularly involve ourselves in going to schools and doing arts and education, doing dance programs, and work with schools, public, private schools, as well as dance schools, all over the state. A lot of it done up in Chicagoland, since there's a much bigger concentration, obviously. And then, of course, we, as I said, we do it on a national basis. Last February, March, we did a two-week residency in Hope, Arkansas, which is a small community in southwest Arkansas. It's about 30 minutes from Texarkana, or from the Texas border. And National Endowment for the Arts funded that primarily, as did Mid-America Arts and so on. And so we worked a couple of weeks there with the local kids, and then we did a public performance, and it was, you know, it was very successful. So arts and education is very important, because that's tomorrow's audience, not only tomorrow's performers, whether they're dancers, actors, musicians, but it's also tomorrow's audience, and we really need to focus on nurturing and developing tomorrow's audience, especially if you're in in constant competition with, you know, with pop music and with pop culture. So the arts need to do that, and that's why we tend to promote it as heavily as we do.
You're looking at your website, and your own biography. You refer to a family lineage of your own in this business. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Sure. my lineage goes back to the Mariinsky, which is the imperial theater in Russia as far as dance, the dance side of my family goes. My great-grandmother performed there. She was a soloist there, so she actually danced under the great choreographer Marios Petipa, you know, probably the most renowned 19th century choreographer and the man who pretty much set the standard for full-length ballets. And that lineage went on to my grandfather and grandmother, my father and mother, and myself, and my wife and myself, I should say, and also our two of our daughters. So they're also into dance and are very focused on the arts. So it's been a very very exciting time. So,
and how do the daughters take to dance? Is that something they picked up because they said mommy and daddy are doing it, so we really want to, or did mommy and daddy say, well, I didn't even try the dance and see how I like it?
No, it was their own choice. In fact, you know, our older daughter picked it up to the point where, you know, even as a small child, she already had a great knowledge of classical roles, well beyond most kids her, you know, that would be her age, and just picked up on it and just continued to focus on it and has really, really been very successful. And our younger dancer, literally our younger daughter, dancer, also basically started while she was inside mom. You know, I mean, she would respond to music and especially to ballet music in a way that you would almost say she's dancing inside, so.
That had to be a very interesting feeling, I imagine, for her. I'm just sort of actually trying to have this great goofy image in my head now that I'm probably going to have trouble getting out. The event at the Watsika Theater has an educational component to it.
It does. In fact, we kind of look at it as being a real educational community kind of an event. We're coming out with, we're going to have three dancers from the company that will be performing. We are bringing dancers from the USA Ballet Academy's Youth Ensemble, which are some very, very talented younger students who are basically the pre-professional contingent. Obviously, they have their own performing group. They're learning the traditional classical ballets as well as contemporary ballets. So they get to do things on their own in addition, you know, and of course always be exposed to the professional dancers of the company. And then, of course, we're coming out tomorrow. We're going to be doing a master class in Watsika, working with kids from local dance studios and giving them an opportunity to feel what our style of ballet is like as teachers. You know, we teach the Vaganova method, which is the Russian school of training. And so it'll be fun for those kids to learn that. Then Saturday, the kids that are participating locally will come out, and we will be working with them. They will be in one of the pieces, so they'll actually be on stage with our company dancers and with some of the youth ensemble kids. And so we're really trying to tie things together very much, make it a mutual kind of event that I think is important for Illinois to just kind of, you know, all gel together in the area.
I want to pick up in a little bit about the method you talked about. But first, let's take a musical break. You brought along some recordings of some of the music that will be accompanying the dance on Saturday. You want to introduce this first one we set up?
I believe the first piece we have is a part of a ballet called the Slavic Fest. And it's a compilation of several different mazurkas and polonaises and also gopaks. So we have, I believe the first piece that we have should be a Polonaise from that work.
We'll find out. Okay. Ken Bello and Chuck Gomez are my guests on Live and Local today on FM 90.9. Slavic compilation there that will be music for one of the dance segments with the USA Ballet at the Watsika Theater this weekend on Saturday. Things start. I'm going to let Chuck Gomez talk about the sequence of events here. Chuck is manager of the Watsika Theater, and Ken Bello is with us, choreographer for USA Ballet. And this is, live and local on FM 90.9. Let me mention first that our broadcast today is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation, dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. Chuck, you have an interesting schedule here that actually begins with dinner, doesn't it?
On Saturday, the day of the event, yes, we're starting the night off with a pre-ballet dinner. It is not part of the ticket, but it is a mere $15 that comes off our Club Cafe's menu. I believe Deborah's preparing and overseeing a Tuscan sun-dried chicken dinner with sides, and that is $15, and that starts serving at approximately 5:30 to 6 o'clock, with the ballet starting at 7 o'clock. So people may come to the Club Cafe, which is part of the theater, ahead of time, and leisurely sit and have a refreshment of their choice, and enjoy dinner if they so choose. And upon completion of dinner, we open the doors and move into the theater. And 7 o'clock comes, and I look around for Ken and make sure everyone's on their marks, and away we go for the night of the ballet at the theater. And I believe this is the first ballet that's ever going to be performed at the Watsika Theater. The Watsika Theater has had many performers through the years. Going back to the early 1930s, Constance Bennett had been at the theater, and the Marx Brothers, and we had had Roy Rogers, and people from town have brought me pictures from the 1940s of them sitting on the lap of Gene Autry, taken on stage, and Paul Harvey speaking motivationally in the 50s at the theater. But to the best of my knowledge and in searching and researching available records, I believe this is our first ballet, and I am proud to bring ballet and another aspect of the fine arts to our fine community of Watsika.
So congratulations, Ken, on I guess you're creating the ballet debut at Watsika Theater. And on the, you had talked about the master classes. Is this something that people can still sign up for, or is that set by now?
I believe
a question for Chuck?
I believe it's more of a question for Chuck, but I believe it's still open to participation.
Yes, we're still open and accepting a notification that young dancers may attend our master class clinic on Friday night. They have to contact the theater, and let me just insert our website, watsikatheater.com. And on our website, you'll find a link to email, which is info@watsikatheater.com. And if those people interested in their young adults and children to attend the master classes, which I am proud to say are absolutely free to the community, no charge whatsoever. Those start at 6 o'clock p.m. on Friday for a two-hour master clinic. And then Saturday morning, starting at 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock for a further rehearsal and then blocking for that evening's performance. Ken is inserting the students into one of the performance vignettes, and I look forward to having our local students join in. But ages run from about 7 years old. It's divided into several groups. 7 to 11, I think, is the younger group, and then 12 years and up. And I've had a tremendous response from Vermilion County, from Iroquois County, from Kankakee County. And every time I'm on Live and Local, then we have an excellent response. Proving that you have listeners out there.
That's good to know.
Kevin, yes, they're out there, and we get a great response from Champaign County. So I hope the email lights up with people contacting us from your area here wanting to participate in the master classes. And several of the schools have contacted me, and the instructors of the schools have asked, would it be all right if we partake in the class? We would love to be associated and gain and draw from the USA Ballet's instructional clinics. And, of course, age is no limit, is it? It's just an age of the heart. Yeah.
So now if this appeal is extremely successful, are you going to be able to get everybody on stage at the Watseka Theater?
Yeah, good thing. Good thing we have a fairly large stage.
Yep, I was going to say our director Michelle Holmes Bello. She selected a piece that the kids will be participating in, as I said, and she's a wonderful user of space. Let's put it that way, or manager of the space given, you know, and so she'll get everybody up there in a way that's going to look really, really good for the kids too.
And I have a note here that if you want to participate in the performance, you need to bring pink tights. Mm. I actually saw that note before I actually read the part about the master classes, and I'm thinking, is this a requirement for admission to the show?
Well, you girls know, only, of course.
Yeah. Some theaters have 3D glasses. You know, maybe our theater should just resort to pink tights.
And ballet shoes, if possible, and hair in a bun, please. Yeah. Well, what did you bring next for us to listen to, a sample of what's going to be on the program?
We have another short excerpt. This is from the famous 19th century ballet Raimunda, and it's the scarf dance, so it's a short variation.
The scarf dance, you want to describe that at all?
It's a dance that is danced by one of the main characters, Raimunda, and it's just part of the flowing part of the ballet. It's a, you know, the whole ballet takes place during the Crusades, and it's one of Petipa's famous ballets, and just if you just hear the music, it's a very, very beautiful ballet. The music was by Glazunov, and it's a very action-oriented ballet. So there are wonderful parts that are very classical, traditional dancing for the girls. The guys are not, you know, the guys are basically two factions, the Crusaders, and then of course the Saracens, and Jean Brienne, the main Crusader, you know, he and his knights end up rescuing Raimunda, who is his betrothed, and whose castle is taken over by the Saracens for a while, and in the end there's a ballet festival, you know, a big festival, wedding festival for them.
But this isn't like opera where the stage is going to be strewn with bodies and blood.
In the full-length ballet, there is some action like that. Yes, there are swords, there are helmets, and all that good stuff. Not this weekend, no.
Okay, this is the kid-friendly version.
Well, it'll be one excerpt, yeah, just one short excerpt.
Okay, this from Raimunda of Glazunov will be danced to this on Saturday at Watseka Theater by members of Watseka of USA Ballet. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I can just imagine the dancing that goes on to that. It's funny how some ballet music you could not confuse for any other kind of music. I mean, it was clearly meant for dancing, almost as though the dancing was imagined first, and then you put music to it. Does that ever happen?
It does, actually. In fact, that's one of the things that Petipa was very renowned for. He would write down really what he wants. He would then meet with the composers, whether it was Tchaikovsky, whether it was Drigo, Minkus, and basically say, you know, I would, you know, the first act of this ballet, here's the libretto, here are the things that I'm seeing, this is what I want for this, this is what I want for that, I want the principal dancer to do this here, you know, I want this style of music, I want this tempo for that particular piece. And that's what the composers would then start working on, putting things together in conjunction with the ballet, and they would really collaborate. It'd be a really solid collaboration with, in the old days, of course, the choreographer having the final say-so over the composer.
In the old days?
Well, nowadays, there's a lot of times when that may not necessarily happen.
Yeah, the composer, it occurred to me, just before asking the question and while you're talking, that I'm not sure I've really been very aware of how ballet is created. You know, what is the sequence? I mean, with music theater, which we were talking about on this program a little bit yesterday, sometimes the music comes and then the words, sometimes the words and the music, and almost always the book comes first. Mm-hmm. With film, almost always the film comes first and then the composer writes the music. But with ballet and other dance, I know that many times the dancer will take a piece of music that I like this piece, I can imagine a dance, and then you choreograph to it.
And that's what happens quite a bit. I mean, you take established music, as for example with Cinderella, which the excerpts will be doing the second, third act. The music was written by Prokofiev. And it has been choreographed before. You know, it was choreographed originally in the 1940s in the Soviet Union. Then it was another version was choreographed by Frederick Ashton for the Royal Ballet. And the version that you're going to be seeing now was re-choreographed by Michelle Holmes-Bello, our director, specifically for the youth ensemble. It was premiered this last spring, and it was a very, and I'll say, unbiased point of view, because I personally am not the greatest Prokofiev fan, although I love traditional Russian composers. His music has always been, with the exception of Romeo and Juliet, some of his music has not necessarily been my favorite. But she did such a wonderful job of choreographing it and applying it, the steps, in a way that it really flows with, you know, with the crescendi that you hear and with the flowing parts that Prokofiev tends to have written his music, that it comes across very, very exciting, and it's a very exciting version, and I'm very impressed with it. I really liked it. Audiences really liked it, and hopefully this weekend everyone coming to the Watsiga Theater will also like it. But that's kind of what happens. If you have established music, you may not necessarily choreograph from beginning to end in traditional order. You may start in the middle, you know, and you may start somewhere near the end and then work your way back, and as you envision the dance, you start putting it together. And then when you have your dancers or your students dancing it for you, you may say, wow, this is what I want to keep. Or you may say, oh my goodness, you know, that is terrible. That doesn't look anything like I've envisioned it in my, you know, when I was putting it together. And you just kind of scrap it and start from scratch.
Well, here's an excerpt from Prokofiev's Cinderella. And maybe when we've heard this, you can talk about what happens at that part of the ballet.
Okay.
If you remember. USA Ballet will be performing some excerpts from Cinderella this Saturday evening at Watsika Theater in Watsika, Illinois. You're listening to Live and Local. And that was an excerpt from early in Prokofiev's ballet Cinderella, from which we will hear some of the excerpts from the later part of the ballet, from which we will see if we go to the Watsika Theater this weekend to see USA Ballet perform them, which they will be doing at 7 o'clock this Saturday. And if you'd like more information, watsikatheater.com is the website, and you can see all kinds of other things that Watsika Theater has going on as well. My guests today in Live and Local are Ken Bello, who's a choreographer for USA Ballet, and Chuck Gomez, manager of the Watsika Theater. I'm Kevin Kelly. So that music described some event early in the show.
Early on
in the story.
In the story when Cinderella is just kind of being, you know, when you kind of get introduced to the character, you know, and to her predicament, basically, of being, you know, who she is, just kind of having been taken advantage of by the stepmother and the stepsisters. And so it kind of sets the mood of where things are going until Cinderella actually gets, you know, all her wishes taken care of.
And the second part, you know, I was just, had my image when you described that actually went back to the Rodgers and Hammerstein music, which of course is a whole nother story, but that's mm-hmm. that's the image I have of Cinderella. I think I saw that show before I knew the rest of the story, before I knew it from any other source. And when you were talking about your relationship with Prokofiev's music, and then as we were listening to it, you were talking a little bit more about it, and it sounds like for you, some of these pieces of music are really affected almost less by what the music itself sounds like than what somebody has visually created to it.
Yeah, in my case, that's exactly how I would phrase it. Because when I choreograph, when I envision things, when I see different ballets and so on, I look at it from the perspective of, does the dancing match the music? Does it match the mood? Does it match the like I said, a crescendo that happens or so on? So I'm kind of looking at it from that perspective, how I would see it or how I would envision it. And I feel, honestly feel that the version that Michelle Mspella has created for the youth ensemble would be as exciting to perform by, you know, by our company as professionals or by other professional companies, because it has a very fresh approach to it, and I feel it's very much in harmony with Prokofiev's music. You can really feel the mood. You can see what's happening. I think anyone in the audience will understand the storyline. You don't need a libretto. You don't need, notes to tell you what's happening, because it'll be that clear. You'll see the stepsisters in a way that, you know, not just are they trying to steal the show, but they're also doing what they're supposed to be doing. It is, and that is, you know, being arrogant and snotty towards Cinderella and so on. Same thing, the different princesses that are brought into the prince to introduce themselves. I feel each one has their own personality and persona in such a way that it makes it very, very fun to watch.
And of course, it's a credit to the dancers, the skill of the dancers, that comes across too, because you could choreograph the most wonderful piece, and if somebody can't dance it in an expressive way, it's not going to work.
Right, absolutely. And that's another credit to Michelle, and also to, as a teacher, as a choreographer, for the youth ensemble, to have the kids portray and come out with the dramatics, that they're coming out across is very, very much ahead of what you would expect kids to be at. That's, again, basing it on, on character development that I've seen, from company dancers, for not only in our company, other companies. The dramatic effect, the being an actress, an actor on stage as well as an actual, dancer, is coming across very well, and that is one of the fun things that the kids are going to be seeing, the local kids, that all the people that are coming, they're going to be seeing, the really polished professional. They're going to be seeing some very, very gifted and talented artistry from the youth ensemble kids, and then they're also going to see their own kids, you know, local kids participating. So it's a nice melting pot, if you will.
For USA Ballet, how do you and Michelle divide up the choreographing duties?
Well, that's a very good question. It's I think partially dependent upon what the repertoire for the next season or the next two seasons requires. It also depends upon motivation as far as, you know, you sit down in your meetings, your committee meetings, basically, and you discuss, you know, are we looking at some new choreography? Who has been, you know, stimulated to come up with a new piece, to choreograph a new piece? So it's kind of all of the above. You know, are we bringing in an outside choreographer to learn something, to teach something new to the company? Or are we coming up with something, you know, as we have in the past and have collaborated with composers here in Central Illinois, Chicago, and so on, as well as using traditional music?
Do you ever fight over who gets to choreograph a piece? I want to do that one. No, I want to do that one.
Actually, believe it or not, we have not yet. We have co-collaborated on a piece, "Twas the Night Before Christmas," which is a ballet that our company performs and has performed literally now from coast to coast as an alternative to Nutcracker, based on the C. Clement Moore poem. And the music is all traditional Christmas carols, so we, you know, the music's very recognizable. And as far as the choreography goes, she's choreographed about, a little bit, I'd say more than half of it, and I choreographed half of it. And it's just worked out it was a very great collaboration. The ballet is very popular, as I said. It's been performed and is already in demand for 10, 11, you know, for bookings. So it's a ballet that is going around the country, and a lot of presenters are looking at something fresh, you know, in addition to the traditional Nutcracker. It's like saying, you know, everybody wants to see Casablanca, the classic, but you also want to see new movies too, you know.
So. Sure. We're talking with Ken Bello, who is one of the choreographers for USA Ballet, and his wife, Michelle, is artistic director, principal dancer. They are going to be performing at Watsika Theater this Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, and Chuck Gomez is also with us. He's manager of the theater. I'm going to take a brief break before we hear one other excerpt from the Cinderella to tell folks of a few other things that you can go see and hear over the next couple of days. And I'll have to make sure I leave a long segment tomorrow because there's a lot of interesting stuff happening on the weekend. But tonight, Blues in Central Park in Decatur with Walter Trout is in Central Park at 7 o'clock. That's free program. Unnecessary Farce, a play being put on by Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield. That's at 6 tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, Sunday, noontime for brunch. At 7 o'clock tonight, it's the Celtic Connections Band at Champaign Public Library. Also, a program called Celtic Bards and Ballads with Storytelling and Irish Music featuring Dan Ketting and Kathy Brinkman. That's at the Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana tonight at 7:30. Mitchell's Bluegrass and Gospel are at the Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tomorrow night at 5:30. It's an improv musical comedy, Baby Wants Candy, at the Rosebud Theater in Effingham. Twice tomorrow night at 7:30 and 10 o'clock. That's an intriguing title. And here's another one. All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, being put on by the ACT Theater Company in Gibson City at the Perfection Coffee House. That's tomorrow night at 6:30. And finally, Argentine Tango on Stage at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. That is at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And on tomorrow's Live and Local, we'll be previewing a program called Encore, in tribute to Kathy Murphy, longtime theater supporter in this community, Champaign-Urbana, Villa Grove, and elsewhere, particularly in later years involved with the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company. That program tomorrow from noon to 1 with a number of her friends and colleagues, and the Encore program Saturday evening at Centennial High School in downtown Champaign. So those are some of the things you can see and hear. Let us know about your event by writing to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. And let's have one more excerpt from Cinderella, I sort of randomly picked one from later on, hoping that this might be one from later in the show that will be showing up at the Watsika Theater on Saturday. Music from Prokofiev's Cinderella here on Live and Local. Music from Prokofiev's ballet Cinderella here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast is made possible in part with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, a Norrison preferred dealer at 11 West Port Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. I'm Kevin Kelly, and coming up at 1 o'clock, I'll have a weather forecast for you. A minute past, we'll have news headlines at 1:06. Jeff Esworthy has more classical music for you. And in just a moment, an example of some of the other kinds of music that you can hear at the Watsika Theater. As I was reading the calendar just a bit ago, I noticed that we had something from the Rosebud Theater in Effingham and the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. I'm not very familiar with the Rosebud, but I certainly know the Virginia Theater, another one of those great restored movie houses. Mm-hmm. Was the Watsika ever a movie house?
Oh, absolutely. It was, with it opening in 1931, it was just designed right after the first talkie dedicated and kind of segued from vaudeville and radio into movies. And yes, it was a movie theater and still is a movie theater, by the way, Kevin.
How often do you show?
We have just started our Food and a Flick on Saturday nights, starting at 6 o'clock. We have a casual dinner. And then at 7 o'clock, sometimes with live theater organ music, at 7 o'clock we move into the theater and have a short cliffhanger serial. Stay tuned next week to see how Zorro escapes the... and a couple classic cartoons usually. And then we show a black and white, mostly black and white film from the 30s or 40s from the public domain realm. And so far, the response, even though the numbers have been small but growing, the response has been wonderful. I've gotten phone calls and emails, and of course, the attendees just have fallen in love with the concept of showing the old classic movies on a large screen with our concert sound system and the restoration of the theater and the wonderfully comfortable seats. And it's just the whole package. It's really I've always referred to it as a time machine. So you walk through the doors and you're instantly transported back in time to the 1930s and 1940s.
Bringing us back to the 21st century, among the performers that you have with some regularity here, I understand, is a fellow named Barry Cloyd.
Yes, Barry, it is our pleasure always to have Barry at the Watsika Theater. Barry has traveled the world and is a outstanding folk and classic and jazz guitarist, and many times graces our club cafe, no cover charge, on our Friday nights for fine dining, and will be there, not this Friday, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow at the club cafe. Barry Cloyd, a wonderful musician. Thank you.
feel the whistle blow right up your spine. So if you feel an urge to travel on down the stream, and let that river open up her past, passage to an older time is floating on the foam. All this river is a time machine. Come on, let the journey last.
A song called Time Machine by Barry Cloyd, performing here on Live and Local. Well, he's not performing on Live and Local. We are playing this from his disc called The Rainmaker's Garden, brought in by Chuck Gomez, manager of the Watseka Theater in Watseka, Illinois, and he's a regular performer there, including next Friday, not tomorrow night. And we have also a sample of another very different sort of music that is heard, I guess, also with some regularity at the theater, Chuck.
Yes, different is an understatement there, but we have all types of music. In our vaudeville show, we usually bring in a jug band, and hence the Escape the Floodwaters. And if anyone knows Watseka, you know we've been besieged with floods in the last few years. But Escape the Floodwaters jug band from Iowa City, Iowa, graced our stage this past vaudeville and is due back soon. And I think you have a cut of them also.
We have a cut here. This is from a disc of theirs called Wrongdoings and Done Wrongs. And
hold on to your seatbelts.
You can pass judgment on your own.
Is it hard being in this big jug band?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Is it hard being in my big jug band?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Is everyone I see, everyone I meet, wants to be my best friend?
Escape the Floodwater Jug Band, their disc called Wrongdoings and Done Wrongs, and the name of the tune, It Is Hard. Is it hard being in a big jug band, which is logical enough from listening to the words. And you might see them some point coming up at the Watseka Theater in beautiful Watseka, Illinois. My guests today on Live and Local are Ken Bellow, who is resident choreographer for the USA Ballet, which is appearing at the Watseka Theater Saturday night at 7 o'clock. They're also giving some master classes on Friday evening at 6 o'clock and Saturday morning at 11. And if you are between the ages of 7 and 11 or 12 or older, they are still taking registrations for participation in that. And if you want to participate, you want to call Chuck Gomez, who is also my guest here on the show today. He's manager of the theater. And Chuck, why don't you give us quickly the contact for somebody to do that?
WatsekaTheater.com or 815-993-2880. And I'd like to say that Ken has worked very hard with the Watseka Theater to bring the ballet in for $15 a ticket.
Which is a wonderful price to see a partly professional production and partly professionally run student production.
Correct.
Which should be a wonderful combination. And I hope we have helped to bring an audience up there for the production. I thank you both for coming in.
Thank you, Kevin.
And those are the same numbers then if they want tickets to the show.
Absolutely.
WatsekaTheater.com. Ken Bellow with USA Ballet. Chuck Gomez with the Watseka Theater. Chuck, actually we're going to hear some music of Edith Piaf in a moment as I give the weather forecast. There's a reason for that. Tell us.
There is a reason. We have our Club Cafe open on Friday nights for fine dining, one night a week. And it's very much in the style of the, we mentioned Casablanca, the movie, Rick's Cafe, and it's a European-American cafe style. And this is the type of music that we have live many times playing background in the cafe.
Thank you. des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens.